The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. We thank you, God, Holy Three, Holy One, that you have made yourself known to us in many ways throughout all time and space. Draw near to us now as we seek to understand more deeply what it means for us to live within the life of the Trinity, and how you are calling us to share that love in the wider world. Amen.
Amen.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Creation begins in chaos. The darkness at the beginning of time, like the darkness of the womb, unseen generativity stirring. The wind, the breath of God, the very spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters, dwelling close, a presence, a comfort, accompaniment through all the change that would soon take place. A voice, a sound, the first sound like nothing that's ever been heard. And from that sound comes light. Can you imagine how bright that first light must have been? God spoke that light into existence and said that it was good. Day and night, a cycle now so familiar, was put into motion for the first time. And on it went, the waters separated from the sky, drawn back to form land. And on that land, God put vegetation, every kind you can imagine, trees with every kind of fruit, sun, moon, stars to rule the day and night, fish, sea monsters, birds, cattle, and creeping things, and all wild animals. "Let us make humankind in our image," God said, and God made humankind, blessed them, and giving to them to care for all that God had made. And it was good. And on the seventh day, God rested. But we're never told God stopped. The creativity and generosity and love with which God created the heavens and the earth didn't end when God rested. Otherwise, the Bible would have been a pretty quick read. God's ongoing creativity and generosity filled the earth with plants and animals and people and every kind of life, down to the tiniest single-celled organisms, and gave us the biodiversity we see in the world around us. Zebras and narwhals, pangolins. We have zero evidence that the Genesis account is factual. No one was there to confirm this is how it went. But it is a story that has been beloved across the millennia because of a truth deeper than fact. The creation story in Genesis is a poetic account of a God the people of Israel had come to know, and how they envisioned that God would have created the world with love, with generosity, and with wild creativity. They knew that because they too had experienced it. As the Hebrew scriptures continue on from the creation story, we see God's ongoing work of creation and recreation. In the story of Abram and Sarai, we see people who were created by God recreated into Abraham and Sarah, taken out of their ordinary lives, blessed with a child in the late years of their life, called to be the founders of a nation. We see slaves liberated from Egypt into their new life as the people of Israel, fed with manna, heavenly food that appeared in the wilderness each day to sustain them in the desert. God gives the law to teach them how to live, to flourish in community together. These stories of making and remaking continue throughout the Hebrew scriptures as the people of Israel are led out of their years of wandering into the promised land, as they're remade into a kingdom, the building of a temple and learning a new way of living that came along with it, being recreated as a people yet again in the destruction of the temple and exile, again in the rebuilding, and all along the voice of the prophets, speaking God's word to the people about the vision God had for them to grow into. In time, God went beyond speaking through the prophets to come and dwell among us on earth in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the Son, the eternal Word who was present from the beginning, the Word by which creation was spoken into being, took on a human body to show us as one of us how we might live as the people of God, showing us in terms we could understand how God longs for us to live into our identities as children of God, how we are to live with our fellow children of God with compassion, healing, forgiveness, love without boundaries. Jesus saw the people around him who were excluded, who went unseen, who were poor, persecuted, oppressed, and declared God's love for them. Love that persisted in suffering. Love that prevailed through the worst humanity had to offer, and on the day of resurrection proclaimed that all things could be made new. To see what it looked like for God to live on this earth was enough for those who encountered Jesus in his earthly life to make them let go of the lives they had known and begin lives according to his witness. But God didn't stop there. Before Jesus ascended, he made clear to his disciples that the work he had done on earth was theirs to continue. Baptizing and making disciples, inviting people into this vision of the way the world could be, teaching others to live as he did. At the day of Pentecost, God came in fire and swirling wind to dwell not just among us, but within us, remaking us yet again as individuals and as the people of God. The work of the church began that day, following the example of Jesus, participating with the power of the Holy Spirit in the work to renew the world into the image God had for what it could be. This is why our work, our life as the church, is never static, must never grow comfortable in what has been, must always look and listen for what could be. I love the phrase that you'll see posted out in front of some UCC churches, God is still speaking. God is still speaking to us, within us, and through the example of Jesus showing us how we are called to live. The diversity and self-giving love of the Trinity always pointing the way forward. Everything going on in this world right now is showing us a path forward for us. What is clear through our tandem pandemics of racism and COVID-19 is that if any of us is suffering, none of us is truly flourishing. None of us is living the life God yearns for us to live until we are all living the life God yearns for us to live. Racism and the systemic upholding of white supremacy are totally antithetical to the Christian life. Christians who worship a Trinitarian God cannot claim that some bodies are worth less than other bodies. We proclaim that each person on this earth inhabits a body created by God, therefore imbued with inherent dignity and worth. We proclaim that when Jesus came to earth in a body, he revealed to us that all human bodies are holy. But Jesus' ministry didn't focus on all bodies. His ministry was one that drew near to the poor, the suffering, the oppressed, to set them free and heal them from whatever it was that kept them captive. His example is one that helps us to understand why, when we look at systemic racism in our country at this time, a claim of all lives matter, though of course true, is insufficient and callous at this time. In Luke's gospel, when a blind beggar cries out to Jesus for mercy, and the crowd shushes him and orders him to be quiet, Jesus goes directly to the one who is suffering, sees him, and heals him. He doesn't say, well, everyone here needs healing of some kind, and continue on his way. He sees the suffering man in front of him, and he heals him, not just restoring his sight, but allowing him to be a full participant in society again. It's just one example of many, but it gives us a theological framework to understand why generalizing is not helpful. Recognizing and proclaiming that Black lives matter during this time in the face of the racism and the violence against Black people we are seeing, and doing the work to liberate and heal is the specific response to the suffering right in front of us, like Jesus did with the blind beggar Bartimaeus, and not simply to generalize and continue on our way. Jesus brought his disciples along with him in his ministry, and Jesus instructed his followers to continue it once he was gone. They were filled with God's Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, given the power they needed to continue his saving work, his work of liberation and healing. When our bodies were sealed with the Holy Spirit in baptism, when we promised to respect the dignity of every human being, we signed on to work for the flourishing of God's children, to continue the work of Jesus and the apostles here and now. To worship a Trinitarian God is to worship a God who is characterized by difference and yet unity. A flowing abundance of self-giving love that reaches ever more broadly through our participation, our living this love into the world. God is speaking to us yet again, as God did in the beginning of time, looking into chaos and seeing what could be. Jesus, as he promised, is always with us, reflected in the faces of our brothers and sisters, and his example shows us how we are to live. And the Holy Spirit empowers us, giving us the courage we need to keep growing and to live into our call. It's time to live more fully into the life of Trinity, from which no one can be excluded. It's time to grow. It's time to be made new. Amen.